you stand and open us in prayer, please?
Yeah. Glorious and gracious Father, we thank you for this time. And we open your holy word. We pray you'd open our hearts and minds and our wills to know and understand and do it. And to bless the speaking and preaching and hearing of your word. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Richard. My name is John Mann. This is Grace Community International speaking at the Navigator Conference in Nairobi, Kenya. This is our second lecture on the prayer notebook, and we are dealing with Thanksgiving and confession. In the area of Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is the worship of God in the context, the worship of God in the context of His work in our lives. The worship of God in reference to His action towards man. Now, there are many acronyms for the sections on prayer, like ACTS, it's easy to remember, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication, Intercession. There is no magic order. You may do them in any order you want. So, I'm teaching them in an order that makes sense theologically. In other words, the two aspects of worship, adoration and thanksgiving, make sense going together. In my prayer notebook, I worship God and then I confess my sins, because after worshiping God, I'm even more aware of my sinfulness. And it makes confession more natural. And then I thank God, because after comparing my sinfulness with His divine attributes, I am more thankful. So that's why I do it that way. But the Bible doesn't say you have to do it that way. Well, you can put them in any order you want. So, thanksgiving is the praise or worship of God with reference to man. I have written here, not thankful that you have them, but rather thankful that God would give them. Not thankful that you have something. When I would come home from a business trip, many times I would bring a gift for my children. Well, I always would. If I'm ever out of town without Eleanor, which doesn't happen very often, because the Bible says it's not good for a married man to be alone. So it's a rare occurrence. But when it happens, I will send her flowers while I'm gone. And when I had children in the home, I was rarely away from the home on a business trip, because Ephesians 6:4 says I'm the spiritual leader, and Ephesians 5:25 the spiritual protector of the home. But when I was forced to be away from home, I would bring them gifts back. When I came to the front door, when the children ran up to greet and hug me, if they asked me what I brought them, Eleanor would give them a spanking. Because they are to be thankful that God brought Daddy home. Not worried about what they may or may not get. And when they received their gifts, if they were jealous of each other, we would spank them. Because they should be thankful for the blessings bestowed on their brothers and sisters, and not covetousness, which is sin. That's foolish. Well, we have an adult application to that. We are thankful for what God gives us. Not that we have something, but that He would think of you. That's what you're thankful for, isn't it? That you would even cross the mind of God. That He would even hear your prayer. But you've grown up in spiritist churches where men shout at God, demanding wealth and health and money in the name of God's Holy Son, the second person of the Trinity. And worse than that, they even thank God for things before He gives them to them. How audacious is that? Jemima, I want to thank you for giving me that bracelet and that necklace for my daughter. of those things? No! No! It is not up to me to thank you for giving me a gift. If you decide to give me a gift, what do I say? That's right. That is a spiritist teaching, and it is not from God the Holy Spirit. And Satan will be happy to reinforce that pride, vain, audacious prayer by giving you the things you ask. If you're married and are happily married, and you ask God for a different wife, what will He say? No. But if you keep asking Him, anyways, there are other spirits who will be glad to provide you with a different wife, aren't they? And they will give you fleeces and miracles and dreams. They will even do an apparition. Some demon will appear and say, I'm Jesus, you can divorce your wife in any simple minutes. I'm Michael, you can divorce your wife in any simple minutes. They'll be glad to do that, won't they? That is why we shape our prayers of thanksgiving by doctrine. Now, Spiritist teaching tells you that theology and doctrine are cold. And churches that rely on cold doctrine are cold. That's upside down, isn't it? Spiritually ignorant churches are tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine that flows through, every spirit, every movement. Spiritually mature churches are grounded and shape their behavior and their practice by doctrine. What do you want from me? That's exactly right. And the next time a false teacher, a false prophet, a spiritist, pastor, apostle, or elder mentions cold doctrines, ask him, excuse me, sir, what doctrine was that? Was that the blood of Christ that's cold? Is that the virgin birth? Is that the Holy Trinity? Which attribute of God is cold? Is it the inspiration of Holy Scripture that's cold? Is it the doctrine of reconciliation or imputation that's cold? Could you explain that to me, sir? Cold doctrine? Is it the blood of Christ or His substitutionary death or His burial or His resurrection that's cold? Could you elaborate that from Holy Scripture? I shudder to think the response of God the Father when God the Holy Spirit's teachings are slandered. Let's look at some verses, shall we? Titus 1:9.
He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it.
Okay. God the Holy Spirit says we are to instruct how? In what? Sound what? Doctrine.
Yes.
Shame on any false prophet, false pastor, false apostle who says that something God the Holy Spirit has commanded the church to do is cold and dead. Shame on them. Okay? Now each word, some of your Bibles will not translate this word doctrine, but it's the same Greek word in each verse. Titus 2:1. Would you turn to each verse as I call it out also? Titus 2:1.
You must teach what is in accord with the sound doctrine.
Yeah. How are pastors to teach? In accordance with what?
Sound
doctrine. How can these false apostles, these false prophets, these false spiritists teach against doctrine when God the Holy Spirit commands them to teach doctrine?
Titus 2:7. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity seriousness.
Okay, great. That's NIV?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Titus 2:7, please.
Titus 2:7. In everything, set an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness.
Okay. And in your doctrine, it's the same word. Yes. Yeah, that's the New King James? Yeah. Yeah, King James, yeah. Yeah. That's a literal translation. It's the same word every place. It's the word doctrine. Okay? 1 Timothy 4:6.
1 Timothy 4:6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine,
yeah,
which you have carefully followed.
We follow, we feed upon doctrine. It is our spiritual food. And what do we not do? Ephesians 4:14.
Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in it.
Yeah, every wind of teaching. Every spiritual event. So he said, don't be fooled by cold doctrine. Come to my spiritist meeting. That's upside down Christianity, isn't it? No, we do not go to the spiritist meeting because we sit under the teaching of sound doctrine. That's right side up Christianity. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Here is an application of this.
The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith.
Okay, let's stop there. Are they, these people that he's talking about, are they the good guys or the bad guys? Some will do what? Is that good or bad? Yeah. So God the Holy Spirit is separating out for us in a pastoral epistle bad pastors, bad apostles, bad prophets. Okay, keep going.
Debate and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by
demons. Ah, have a seat. Did Jesus talk to demons?
Yes.
Are you Jesus? No. And it's important when you do your attributes of God study for you to do the section on those things which are attributes of God of which we are forbidden. Did Jesus talk to demons? Are we allowed to listen to demons? Because of 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Did Jesus pass on the teachings of demons in the Holy Scripture? Yes. Doesn't the Holy Scripture actually accurately record the words of Satan? It does, doesn't it? Don't the Holy Scriptures accurately record the words of demons like the demoniac? Are we allowed to teach the teachings of demons? No. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Doesn't it say a characteristic of falling away from the faith? That doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It just means you've deviated from doctrine. Is that you begin listening to demons, you have conversations with them, and you pass on their teaching. That is forbidden. Did God the Father see Adam and Eve naked? Did he? Did he sin? Was it wrong? Was it wrong? No. Can you see men and women naked? Can you? Is it possible to do it? Is it possible to see pornography?
Yes.
It's possible. Is it sin?
Yes.
God can do things and see things which we cannot do or see because of the doctrine of imputation. All the temptations that Satan throws against God are external. There is no internal struggle of the soul like we have. And those of you who've been to the workshop on imputation, you know what I'm talking about. Those who don't should get together with those who have to get the good scoop. Did Jesus talk to demons? Are we allowed to talk to demons? Okay, so when you go to Brother Hezekiah's glorious Holy Spirit spiritual crusade deliverance where he talks to demons and they talk back to him, what do? You walk away. Just as if they showed a pornographic picture up there. Or people began sharing in the prayer time gossip. You leave. You turn it off. You close the book. Unless you want to look at pornography. Unless you want to hear the gossip. Unless you want to listen about the demons. Then you say, don't do that. God's word tells us what spiritual worship is and what it is not. So that's how we are shaped in our Thanksgiving. Now in my Thanksgiving section, I have something written. What does this say, Richard?
No whining zone.
Your Thanksgiving section is a no whining zone. It's a Thanksgiving section. And what does this say, Richard?
Who do you think you are? Billy Graham?
That's right. Who do I think I am, Billy Graham? That I should be treated in such a way? That I should have such a ministry? That I should have recognition? No, I'm not Billy Graham. I'm nobody. And anything that I have, I should be thankful for. Anything that I have. Psalm 92:1 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. So we do it. Oh, we had one of those, please, Richard. And so we have a Thanksgiving section. Now, notice in your Thanksgiving handout, where under where it says no whining zone, what does this say? Who would like to read this passage, Deuteronomy 28:47-48, from the worksheet? Okay, this brother here, from the worksheet.
Okay, Deuteronomy 28:47-48. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your God.
Yeah, you do not want to play compare and contrast with God. See, when I was a little boy and my mother fixed me squash and I was put squash on my plate, you call this squash? The yellow gourd? What do you call that? The yellow gourd? Yeah. You put that on the plate. Oh, let's say greens. Bitter herbs. Put that on the plate. If I went, oh, I don't like that. This is what my father would say. I can help you with that. And he would take a big double scoop and put it on my plate. And then another double scoop and put it on my plate. And he would say, you eat everything your mother sets before you with thanksgiving. And no other comments than that. We accept what God, our Holy Father, gives us with thanksgiving, or he will teach us thankfulness. But that's good, isn't it? Hebrews 12:10 says he disciplines us for our good, but it's better than having to get the triple scoop of bitter herbs to look at your mother and smile and say thank you. Psalm 116:7, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Do you know how many people roll up their blanket off the dirt floor and kneel with bare feet, and heaven would be able to sit in this air-conditioned room with you with shoes on and a pen and paper and a clean body? You want play compare and contrast with God? Do you want Him to teach you thanksgiving? Or do you want to be thankful? You see, Psalm 140:13 says, the righteous will give thanks to God. So when we give thanks to God, and then on the next page are some hymns of thanksgiving. When we give thanks to God, we are thanking Him for our state. And we do not engage in spiritual temper tantrums because God in His sovereignty has placed us in a situation. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. Turn with me, if you would, I'm sorry, to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Paul prayed to God to take the thorn of the flesh. What did God say to him in verse 9? What did he say? What is grace? What's the definition of grace? Unmerited favor. So this thorn in the flesh is something good that Paul was not worthy of. Isn't it? And what did Paul say? He was going to be glad in it, wasn't he? I thought God healed all diseases. I thought it was God's will that all diseases be healed. That's Spiritist teaching. God says part of His grace is illness. That's doctrine. Refute it. Refute verse 9. Is the word grace there? Is the word grace in verse 9? Grace is receiving that which is not deserved. It is something above and beyond with which you are worthy. And that is suffering. That's Job, wasn't it? Was Job sick? Was he without sin? Yeah, he was without sin. It says, in all this, Job did not sin. I thought illness was a result of sin. I thought illness was from Satan. I thought God healed all diseases. What does the Bible say? Turn with me to Galatians. Let's look at Galatians 4, verse 13. How was the church of Galatia founded? And why do we have this book of the Bible? Because of what? Paul's illness. I thought sickness was bad. What does the Bible say? You can pray God for healing. If God doesn't heal you, what do you say? Thank you. You know best. Thank you. Fanny J. Crosby, who wrote probably more hymns than any other woman, To God Be the Glory, Blessed Assurance, Just As I Am, lived in an age when during the late 1800s, early 1900s, when these Holy Spirit miracle crusades had come into vogue. They'd come in and out of vogue in the church. After a while, people would get tired of giving their money to people in exchange for miracles when the Bible so clearly says that it's a sin to ask people for money for miracles. So they come in and out of vogue. So let me read this to you. Fanny Crosby was probably the most prolific hymnist in history. Though blinded by an incompetent doctor at 6 weeks of age, she wrote over 8,000 hymns. Now, she was invited to go to a healing service. She said, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence, that sovereignty, of God, that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for this dispensation. If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might not have sung the hymns of praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things around me. Are you a spiritual person or a spiritist? Mark 4:19. The world's cares, the delight of wealth, the passion of other interests enter in and choke the word, and it proves fruitless. Would you rather be sick, found a church, and write a holy epistle, or be well and prosperous like Demas, who left Paul for the love of this world and missed out on that? Are you throwing temper tantrums, or are you thanking Jesus? John Fletcher of Manly was an Anglican pastor who was part of the great Wesleyan revival. One time meeting him when he was very ill with a hectic fever, I said, "I'm sorry to find you so ill." Mr. Fletcher answered with great sweetness and energy, "Sorry, sir. Why are you sorry?" "It is the chastisement of my heavenly Father, and I rejoice in it. I love the rod of my God and rejoice therein as an expression of his love and affection towards me." Proverbs says, "A foolish son rejects his father's discipline." Are you a foolish son or a daughter or a wise son or daughter when you experience the discipline of God? Because Hebrews 12:10 says he disciplines us for our good. If you pray for healing and God does not give it, will you run to every Holy Spirit, glorious, spiritist crusade, seeking that which God has said no to? Or will you get on with the Christian life and say, "Thank you, Jesus, I leave this in your hands. Not my will, but yours be done." Well, in your Thanksgiving section, I've given you some topics. God is worthy of our thanks, irrespective of our circumstances. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. Who would like to read? I'll go with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18.
1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. It says, "Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances."
Now how am I going to give thanks when I have the flu? How am I going to give thanks when I'm broke? How am I going to give thanks when my sister has just died of leukemia? How am I going to give thanks when I've lost my wallet? How am I going to give thanks? Well, irrespective of your circumstances, do you have a mother and father and brothers and sisters? Do you? Yes. Write their names here. You should thank God for that. Some people don't have a family. They're street children. You see them in the streets of Nairobi, don't you? And they're covered with dirt and soil. And people rule over them as cruel masters and addict them to drugs and make them sex slaves and make them beggars. But you have a mother and father and brothers and sisters, don't you? And a home. Home and house. Friends, health, finances, ministry. I thank God every day for these things. The blessings in fruitful times. But you know what else I thank God for? Men and circumstances that you have brought into my life to help, train, and rebuke. Thou who hast shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again. I thank God for the troubles and distresses. And you know what a prayer notebook does? It protects you from bitterness. Because now, when you're in the middle of that, for so long in the Christian life, I used to say, "Lord, help me to be thankful in the midst of these things, rather than just after they're over." And so I added these things to my prayer notebook, so when I'm in the middle of them, the Word of God would bring me back. Psalm 119:71, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. If you're going to pray, as I do, every day, Psalm 119, 125, I am thy servant, O Lord, give me understanding that I might know thy testimonies, what are you asking God to do to you in Psalm 119:71? What? Afflict me. And then when he answers your prayer, you have a pity party, you have a temper tantrum, and you run everywhere trying to get out from under the discipline of God, which is good. So I have a list here. People, enemies, rebukes, corrections, humiliations, self-perceived lack of recognition, used for others' success, injustices. I thank God for those things, so that when I'm in the midst of them, I might be a thankful Christian rather than a whiny one. Circumstances, failures, hardships, pain, sickness, poverty, refining fires, perceived unmet needs. I thank God for those. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no fruit, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I need to read that, and I need to thank God. And you know, no matter how bad my week is, God the Son is still God the Son, and He should be thanked every day for His virgin birth, earthly ministry, suffering and shed blood, substitutionary death on the cross, burial, resurrection, ascension, continuing ministry, and imminent return. Not just at Christmas and Easter. So I thank Him every day. God the Holy Spirit should be thanked every day. God the Father should be thanked every day. I should thank God for the holy attributes of Scripture every day. I should thank God for prayer every day. I should thank God for His mercies and His graces. And I don't spend my time in vain, selfish, narcissistic thanksgiving for wealth and power and health that God has not given. Don't do that. Pray. I have presented this to you to help you to pray according to Holy Scriptures. You will have to decide if your prayers are going to be Spiritist-led or Holy Spirit-led. May God add His blessing to the teaching of His holy word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.